here with us for the morning show as we talk about the ongoing work of Wisconsin's Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force on this National Day of Awareness. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Attorney General Josh Call, he formed a task force last October. It's currently made up of 42 members. He told WBAY-TV at the time, there are gaps in the data, gaps in the reporting, what is known about these cases and why Indigenous women are targeted.
There isn't great data collection on this issue, and that's because it hasn't been examined through the lens specifically of missing and murdered women in Indigenous communities.
What do you want to tell this task force? What is not coming to light on this decades-long crisis? 800-642-1234. Justine Rufus is co-chair of the Task Force on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. She's rural coordinator for Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault and an enrolled member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Justine, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for inviting me to the network.
Tell us, on this Day of Remembrance, what is being done?
So we have a large event planned for today. The task force started with a grassroots effort of women that came together from tribal communities to bring forward a bill to the state of Wisconsin. And we are always in tune with the family members and centering the Indigenous communities. So one of the things that they asked for is really to make this day not a national day, but recognize MMIW as a day of awareness in Wisconsin. And so we were really activated around 2 or 3 weeks ago to create this event and gather not only state representatives, but tribal representatives, and bringing them together to sign a proclamation recognizing this day as a day of awareness here in Wisconsin. So at 2:30 this afternoon, we're hosting the event. The task force will be hosting the event on Zoom, and we've opened this event up to the public to really come and join us as our tribal leaders and our governor and the attorney general and Lieutenant Barnes will all be in attendance. And we will all, the state of Wisconsin has officially signed their proclamation recognizing this day, along with our tribal leaders will be signing proclamations today. Mm.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the conversations you've had with families who have gone through this devastation? What have those conversations been like?
I think the families are frustrated. Mm. This issue, I know, is the term MMIW is gaining some awareness, but this issue has been very historical in our communities. It's happened for generations. And we often don't see justice in the way that I think that we would think of justice in outside of our community. So I think that as we speak with the families, they're excited about the fact that this is starting to gain some awareness. I think that's really important for the families, but also really listening to the families that there are so many roadblocks when it comes to helping our families. And from the onset of if someone goes missing to being able to have a search party, you know, it really starts with a real lack of resources. And so and then support when their family members go missing. And so I think that it's important to really listen to their voices as we go through this task force to find out what we can do for solutions.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Justine Rufus, who co-chairs the Task Force on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. It's housed in the Department of Justice in partnership with Indigenous communities around the state. You can join in. What do you think of the work of this task force? What could be done? What would you like to see the task force focus on in working towards solutions? 800-642-1234. Justine, bring us up to speed on the work of the task force. What have you been doing?
Yeah, so we hosted our two meetings now, and so it took a while to get this. I know that the Attorney General announced mm-hmm. the task force quite a while ago, back in October. The pandemic did slow our process, and so it took a while for us to establish and convene for our first meeting. I think really the first couple of meetings, what we soon discovered is we do have a very large task force, but we did get a lot of folks, including family members, community members, that wanted to be involved in this work. And so we established four subcommittees mm. where folks can join us in this effort. And those subcommittees are becoming quite large. So we have four subcommittees, a data committee, a policy and legal committee, a family and community impact committee, along with a systems committee. And so each one of those committees are around 20 people and growing.
Wow.
And so we are coordinating these committees to really delve into the work and help us find solutions for these problems. So that's one of the big efforts. And then we have established a website. And so if you go in the Department of Justice, Wisconsin's Department of Justice, you can see that we have a web page that we've established for the public to really follow the work as we move through this process. We're also currently in the process of seeking out a research team to really help develop a plan, a report at the end of our task force work. And in addition to that, very uniquely, Wisconsin plans on establishing two reports. One is a report of kind of what are the root causes, what are some solutions, what are some mandates that we're going to ask for at the end of this task force.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing that we've decided, which is really important, is the implementation plan. Mm-hmm. How are we going to move this work forward beyond the task force? And so I think that that's extremely important. So, and just recognizing that all of this, everything that the task force is doing is being led by our families and centering our families. And so even the way that we conduct our meetings, we've received feedback that it's very unique. It's indigenous led. It's being done with a real thoughtfulness about centering our families. And so that's really important, is as we move through this, to really center the voices of our families.
Yeah, really bringing a deeper meaning to the work. Let's go to Jesse now in Green Bay. Hi, Jesse. What would you like to say?
Good morning. I think this is an amazing topic, and I'm so glad that you guys are covering it. One thing that I know I get really confused on is I know that different tribes in Wisconsin have different agreements with the local authorities. I know some tribes have their police members are deputized in other areas. I'm wondering how that relationship with the local authorities plays into this issue of making sure that the missing women are given the same resources and the same importance.
Jesse, thank you. Justine.
I think that that's very important. So the relationship that they have. So, for example, if someone does go missing, we're really relying on our county partners or our local partners to enter that into the NCI database. And so from every step from an Amber Alert, we're really relying on the partnership that we have with the local authority to enact that Amber Alert. So really tribes lack the infrastructure, the databases to do that on their own. And so partnerships are very important. And so that's why we're so excited that this task force has such an interest. And we do have a lot of local partnerships, but it really can change if there isn't that really strong relationship with that local partner. On what can happen for the families when they're immediately missing.
I would imagine that having that clarity very early on when someone is missing is really important because, you know, who has jurisdiction? Who is taking the lead on the investigation? And just having that knowledge can make things go more quickly in those early hours when it's so vital.
Yes, and it's really having a contact person even for some of those, as simply as do you know who to call, and whether it's a child that goes missing, an adult that is missing, there's different systems that you have to work through. And so it's very important for these relationships to be established, not once things happen, but early.
We're talking with Justine Rufus, co-chairs the State Department of Justice's Task Force on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. All of the state's 11 federally recognized tribal nations have a seat at the table. The task force meets again next month. What should be the centerpiece of their work in your mind? How will you mark today's day of remembrance? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the work of Wisconsin's task force to investigate missing and murdered Indigenous women. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a task force led by the State Justice Department that is in partnership with tribal nations. Nationally, it's worth noting there's been some movement on this crisis. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland announced last month the creation of a unit to investigate missing and murdered Native Americans that will be housed within the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Do you live on a reservation? What connection do you have to this devastating issue? What will it take to shine a light on it and to get to solutions? Join in 800-642-1234. Justine Rufus is co-chair of the Task Force on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. Justine, take us to the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa for a moment. You're a member. What is your tribal community seeing as far as violence against women and in this particular issue?
Bad River has a number of folks in it throughout our history that has gone missing. So this really, for our tribe, is very personal, this topic. And we say people, because I know we center this work around women, but the violence in our community against our people has been very high. Mm. And I know last year we really lost one of our, this would have been 2 years ago, but even our children. And so it's very important for us to center the voices of the families that are survivors and understand that this problem really does truly impact. As we were establishing this task force and getting it up since last October, I think that one of the questions when we brought this bill forward was, does this really happen in Wisconsin? And so it was really important for us to bring those voices to the front and say that, yes, this indeed is happening in our communities. And we lost two of our women in Wisconsin, you know, as this task force was getting established. And so it's very real. It is happening, and it really impacts our communities. And we have to find solutions. It really is depends on life or death in our community.
I want to look at policy legislative solutions. You have four lawmakers on the task force, two representatives, two state senators. What is their input from a policy standpoint?
Well, at this time, you know, that is really going to, the subcommittee, you know, that policy and legal committee is really going to work on finding out what are the gaps currently that are in the policies, what are policies that maybe we have that aren't being utilized that we currently have. So there really is a lot of work to do around policy in the state of Wisconsin. So we're just pleased to have so many experts in that can help us move those into the report and then the implementation plan. So that's something that they're discovering now. And so we're excited for them to convene. And their first meeting will be coming up, the subcommittee, on the 14th.
You know, you personally, how does your work on preventing sexual assault inform this work at all, this work on the task force?
Well, interestingly enough, most of the task force that have been developed really worked closely with the coalitions. And so I think it really has been wonderful that I am. I have already worked for the coalition, the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, because this is one of our focus areas. And so it's really important for us to, I've I've been supported by the coalition. They're very helpful. And even small things as creating flyers and really supporting the task force in any way that they can. So it really does make sense for my organization to really support me in this work, and they are very supportive. So I can't say enough about the work that they're doing behind the scenes.
We're talking with Justine Rufus, who co-chairs the State Task Force on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. The group was created last October by Attorney General Josh Call. It includes lawmakers, all of Wisconsin's tribal communities, along with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes on the task force. You can join in 800-642-1234. Chris is with us from Racine. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm curious, since there's a task force for Indigenous women, that implies that there is a greater occurrence among Indigenous women, so what of missing or violence. What is the comparison to non-Indigenous, and is it a cultural issue of entitlement or a sense of, or a lack of self-worth or isolation that causes this? Is there something that we can do to educate the tribeswomen for greater assertiveness of themselves? Is it
Chris? Chris, let's let Justine jump in here.
Yeah, so we have a rate of missing folks much higher than any other population. And so I think that is, in fact, it's, you know, we talk about pandemic, epidemic, this, our rates of missing women in Indian country, and I say in the entire country, is in some cases it could be as much as 3 to 10 times higher. Mm-hmm. And I think that this was happening in other communities, there would really be a shock, you know, if it was happening in your neighborhood, we would probably really take notice of this type of violence that happening against our women. We don't know all the answers of why this is happening. We do know that there are some areas that can impact this, and part of that is the history of the treatment of Native women is really a part of that. We look at resources and man camps, and we're really trying to, as a country, trying to figure out why do we have so many women that are being violated this way in Indian country. And a big part of what we're discovering is that our laws within the boundaries of Indian country just don't, aren't as strict as what you would see in a county or a neighboring jurisdiction outside of Indian country. So it's very, jurisdictional issues, I think, are very important to look at as we're reviewing this in Wisconsin.
Justine, you mentioned the research team aspect of the work, building reports to look at root causes, a report on mandates. What is the timeline for these reports?
So we hope to get these established definitely within 18 to 24 months.
Okay.
Once that research team is hired.
And when you look at how the Department of Justice, the State Department of Justice, is going about this, do you find it productive? Do you have insights on how this work could be done more assertively and you know, make Wisconsin a leader on trying to find solutions?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I love that you asked that question, because I think it's really important that it is being run through the Department of Justice, but this is an issue that our entire state could really rally behind. And I know that currently we have, we're trying to gain that support. And so as we move forward and we build partnerships, we just want to keep adding to this task force, and it needs to last beyond this, you know, task force. It really is the action that comes from the work that we do that's really going to make the difference. Our whole response, the only reason that this task force is to save lives. And so we have to think beyond this task force. We have to think about the future, and we do have to become a leader in Wisconsin to really no longer tolerate this type of violence in Indian country.
very quickly as we wrap up, have you looked to other task forces in other states? Has that informed your work at all?
Absolutely. Actually, so exciting. In our very first meeting, we brought in Marion Buller from the Canadian Inquiry. They really, Canada was the leader in this type of research and discovery. And so if we look at the Canadian Inquiry, it really is a huge document that they worked on many years. In fact, they had two reports because the first was not Indigenous led. So we really brought in our partners from other states, Minnesota, New Mexico. We really met with them to find out what are their lessons learned, what would they have done differently.
And Justine, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Justine Rufus, co-chair of the Task Force on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. News update is next on the Ideas Network.